I'm Lori Duncan. I'm with the University of Tennessee Extension. My co-authors on this are Mike Buschermall, a precision ag specialist from University of Tennessee, Margarita Valandia, who's just joined us on this project, and I'm an engineer. That's a disclaimer. If you ask me any economic questions, hopefully she can answer them for you. And Janet Reed with Cotton Incorporated. So I'm going to continue the discussion on the field print calculator and show you guys a little bit of what we've been doing in Tennessee. I always start with this slide, no matter who's in the room. The word sustainability is always used out of context. We can't be sustainable without being profitable. We have to optimize our yields and be environmentally friendly to be sustainable. So I just don't want anybody to be under the impression that we're being environmentalists and not being worried about our cotton production. So in Tennessee, we are documenting the baseline of sustainability, but we're also looking at different management practices. So we determined what we thought were the most influential factors, what we can make the biggest impact on, and then use those to compare to traditional strategies in the calculator to show that we do have some improvement. Today we'll focus on looking at variable rate technologies, cover crops, irrigation, and ways to improve on soil health. This is kind of the data that Andy showed earlier, just in a different visual, but I took a typical field we had and broke it down into energy usage. I was not aware that it's now in diesel gallons per pound. So this is in BTUs per pound of lint, but fertilizer takes up the majority of that energy usage. So we think we're on the right track with focusing on fertility programs and management changes with the fertility programs. And then we have protectants, pesticides, and the others, irrigation, drying, and tillage. We did the same thing with greenhouse gas emissions. Again, fertilizer is the majority of that greenhouse gas emission pie chart. And like Andy mentioned, this is including the energy and the greenhouse gas emissions from creating fertilizer. So most of this is coming from the creation of nitrogen fertilizer. As we know, it is very energy intensive. A recent activity that has been happening is the hypoxic zone in the Gulf of Mexico, right here where we are, the dead zone, as they call it in the media. This is coming from excess nitrogen and phosphorus in the Mississippi River Basin. USGS is attributing 90% of this to production agriculture. So there are states that are under regulation right now, such as Florida and up in Maryland. So they come out and say you can apply this maximum amount of nitrogen and phosphorus. That is not the agronomic optimum rate. That is not the economic optimum rate. That is what their watershed can handle. So in the Mississippi River Basin, we're trying to avoid these regulations. It could be very negative for our growth. So we are taking the approach of a proactive nutrient reduction strategy, and this is by state. So we're saying we're using cover crops, we're using precision ag technologies, et cetera, documenting our improvements. So if anybody was to come knock on our door and say, you know, regulations are possible, we can say these are the things we're doing already instead of just being a sitting duck. So our approach in this is pretty simple. We made two scenarios, one being the traditional scenario, however the producer had traditionally managed that field. We changed one management practice and hold everything else constant in the second scenario. We then compare those sustainability metrics that the field print calculator gives us, and as well as we're looking at some dollar savings there. So in my next example, I will be looking at variable rate nitrogen. So scenario one is that uniform rate of nitrogen that producer was using. Scenario two is we're going to change that rate to the average variable rate that he used. So then our metrics, we can attribute any savings to that management practice. So this is a 92-acre cotton field in West Tennessee. He switched to variable rate nitrogen in 2011. We have 2 years worth of data for this field. The yields are pretty consistent. So So traditionally, he was applying 120 pounds of nitrogen. In 2011, he dropped that back to 104, and that is on average across the acreage. And then 2012, it dropped back even further to 71. He stuck with the uniform rate of P and K because there wasn't that much variability there. But again, he was using zone management. He was sampling within those zones and found out he could pull back on his P and K amount also, and then built that back up the next year. Here are his zones in 2011 and 12. You can see the ranges are different. My mouse works. The highest application rate in 2011 was 123 pounds. So he would have been under applying by 3 pounds an acre if he had, in that high zone, if he had stuck to his traditional rate. 2012, the highest he needed was 90 pounds an acre. That high zone would have been over applied by 30 pounds an acre. So that is negative environmentally and financially for him. I'll have a few more graphs like this. It's kind of busy. Energy usage is on the left, and that's in BTUs per pound of lint. On the right is greenhouse gas emissions. Energy usage is in green, greenhouse gas in blue. On the left here is that traditional blanket rate scenario. And on the right is the variable rate scenario. So by switching to variable rate, he saved about 3,000 BTUs per pound of lint and almost half a pound of carbon dioxide equivalent. And that, again, is mostly going to be attributed to the reduction in nitrogen he had applied to that field. Here are those spidergrams that the previous two talks showed. This is the actual output if you were to go use the footprint calculator. It's the same information, but on that relative index. So the blue footprint you can see is shrinking in the energy use and greenhouse gas emission metrics. So this producer saved about $50 an acre in fertilizer alone both years after he switched. And then also saved over 2 tons of nitrogen in 2012 and 1.5 tons of phosphorus in 11. So those are the numbers that we can share with our regulators. We can share and say, these are the things we're doing, and this is what we're seeing from that management change. I want to do extrapolate a little. I had 500 acres worth of data for this producer over 2 years that he was managing the same way. So over that 500 acres in 2 years, he saved 425,000 pounds of carbon dioxide equivalent. And that is the equivalent of burning 22,000 gallons of gas. 4.2 billion BTU, which is enough energy to power over 100 houses in America a year. 19 tons of nitrogen and 15 tons of P2O5. And again, those are the numbers we want to share with people and say, you know, this was our management change and this was our effect. And again, he saved $60,000 in fertilizer costs over those 2 years, over 500 acres. We've recently started looking at the use of cover crops. We all know the benefits of cover crops. Reduces erosion, improves soil health numerous ways, helps us manage nutrients. And as the first talk, if anybody caught it this morning, there's a lot of hope being put into research with weed suppression. So we took, this is the same field from the previous example, and I just assumed a cover crop in this field. So we assumed wheat and peas in this field because we've seen good ground cover this year with that species mixture. On the left is the spidergram with no cover crop, and on the right is with the cover crop. You can see it, the field print shrunk, particularly in the water quality area, and that's due to we're not losing as much soil, there's not as much sediment going into the streams. And also energy usage. That's because I claimed a nitrogen credit. We had a legume cover crop. I claimed a 50-pound nitrogen credit in the calculator, so our energy use went down. the wheat pea seed, this is just seed, not application cost, is around $63 an acre. NRCS will cost share through their EQIP program up to 200 acres at $59 an acre. That was their number last year. I'm not sure what it's going to be this coming year. And then again, I took that 50-pound nitrogen credit, so the fertilizer savings are around $32 an acre. So up to 200 acres, this producer could be making around $28 an acre. Obviously, you can't cost share on all of your acreage, but if we do see those benefits from weed suppression, we know that these producers are going to adopt anything that can help them get rid of their herbicide-resistant weeds. Here's an irrigation example. Back in 2011 in the drought, it was not as bad in Tennessee, I'm sure, as it was in Texas, but we thought, surely this isn't sustainable to throw all this water on this cotton, and we have had no rain. So we wanted to compare a field under center pivot irrigation and say, well, what if it had been dry land? What would have happened? So we took a yield map and took the average irrigated yield under the pivot and then took the average dry land yield in the corners. And so we made that scenario A and scenario B. On the left there is dry land and on the right is irrigated. So by irrigating, they use less energy per pound of lint produced just because of that yield. They kept that yield up. So again, sustainability is not just environmental, but it's the economic effects also. We also have looked at tillage systems. We are over 75% as of 4 years ago, no-till in our cotton acreage. So this was more of a pat on the back for our producers and for us to document and show people this is how much soil we've retained and from switching to no-till. So I took a typical field and looked at the soil carbon metric. By no-till, you're building your soil carbon, and then by conventional, you're depleting, obviously. On this field in particular, they were saving 2 tons an acre a year, which came out to about 420 tons of soil in 1 year that was saved. Here are the field prints for that. On the left is conventional tillage, right is no-till. That field print shrunk pretty substantially by switching to no-till. So in conclusion, the calculator can be used to identify areas of improvement and to kind of compare management strategies like we've been doing. So if a producer was to put one of his fields into the calculator and his field prints way out of whack on, say, soil loss, he can look into starting no-till practices. Again, we want to be able to make profitable decisions as well as environmentally friendly decisions. And as I've learned this year, I get calls about these numbers that I'm throwing out, and it's a great way to document and share the good stories of agriculture so the non-ag public sees that we're not these evil people just throwing nutrients into the water. So with that, I'll take any questions. I think I have a few minutes. And I'm sure you can ask Andy or Kelsey questions also. Nobody? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.